Good morning. I'm glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. Before we start, though, let me open us in prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we look to your word, as we look to the end of this year, Lord, I pray, God, that you would remind us of your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. This past year in particular, Lord, that as we reflect and remember, Lord, that we would be able to see your goodness, even in spite of perhaps difficulties or hardships or maybe challenges that we have faced. Lord, I pray that as we look into your word, Lord, that it would give us faith, it would give us comfort, Lord, it would give us conviction to live out a life of truth, a life of grace, a life of love for your glory in this next year, Lord. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When was the last time you remember seeing someone cry? Seeing someone cry in front of you in particular. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a classmate or even a coworker. And what was your reaction, or how did you respond to that person who was crying? Maybe the person was actually you. Maybe you were crying. And if you were with other people, how did they react or respond to the fact that you were crying? This morning in our today's passage, we're going to be looking at an event in which a particular person is crying. Now, maybe he's not literally crying tears, but he's crying out. He's in agony. He's in pain. And he's crying out. And we're going to look at the response, particularly the response of God to this person's cry. And perhaps it might be similar, or there might be tie-ins to our own circumstances in which we're facing. And we are crying out. Again, may not be literally crying with tears, but we're crying out in despair, in hurt, in a sense of anguish. And God, his response to us, and what does it say in terms of his desire for us as he responds to our cry in our lives? Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah. We're going to be looking at chapter 15, verses 10 to 21. So that's Jeremiah, chapter 15, verses 10 to 21. And if you've been with us, you know that I've been preaching through a message series in the book of Jeremiah, looking at specific events and experiences of the prophet Jeremiah, who was called by God to deliver or to preach his word to the people of Israel. And yet, sadly for many of the Israelites, they were unwilling to not just listen, but to respond in a way that God desired the Israelites to. And in verse 15, again, we're going to be focusing on Jeremiah's cry and the Lord's reply or response to his cry. Let me just read verses 10 to 14 of chapter 15. It starts out, it says, "Woe is me, my mother, that you bore me, a man of strife and contention, to the whole land. I have not lent, nor have I borrowed, yet all of them curse me. The Lord said, have I not set you free for their good? Have I not pleaded for you before the enemy in the time of trouble and in the time of distress? Can one break iron? Iron from the north and bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I will give as spoil without price for all your sins. Throughout all your territory, I will make you serve your enemies in a land that you do not know. For in my anger, a fire is kindled that shall burn forever." Again, in verses 10 to 14 of chapter 15, we see Jeremiah's cry and the Lord's reply, or the Lord's response to his cry. It starts out in verse 10, where we see very clearly how Jeremiah is crying, or he's in a state of anguish. And he says, "Woe is me, my mother, that you bore me." In fact, he's in so much pain, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, maybe even spiritual pain. He's actually at a state of mind that is questioning his own birth, his mother delivering him. It's almost as if it would be better for his mother not to have borne him. And he talks about how he is a man of strife and contention to the whole land. Basically, everyone seems to be against him. Everyone seems to have it in for him. He says, "I have not lent, nor have I borrowed, and yet all of them curse me." It seems as if wherever he looks, wherever he turns, there's someone who's trying to get him. He's trying to has it out for him. In many ways, shapes, or form, what Jeremiah is experiencing kind of reminds me of Job. If you're familiar with the book of Job, where Job experiences tragedy, hopefully none of us experience the same kind of tragedy, or as Job was, where he lost his livestock, lost his livelihood, you could say. He lost his servants, he lost his family, his own health, physical health deteriorates. Many of his friends turn against him. And perhaps like Jeremiah, Job is also maintaining his innocence. Jeremiah says again at the end of verse 10, he says, "I have not lent, nor have I borrowed." Basically, I've done nothing to deserve this. I've done nothing to offend people. And yet, all of them curse me. Notice the Lord's reply to Jeremiah's cry in verses 11 to 12. How the Lord responds, particularly, I would say, he's responding particularly to Jeremiah. And he says, "Have I not set you free for their good? Have I not pleaded before you, before the enemy, in the time of trouble and in the time of duress?" What I would suggest that the Lord is saying is that he is speaking to Jeremiah personally, directly, or you could say privately. And he's wanting to use Jeremiah for a particular purpose. For a particular purpose of speaking, preaching, delivering his word to the people of Israel. God's answer to Jeremiah's cry, or God's reply, is to remind him of the particular purpose or desire for God to speak through him, to work through him for the good of the Jews, or so that the Jews will respond to God. And also in verses 13 to 14, I would suggest that God is now directing his attention to the people of Israel as a whole. Yes, Jeremiah could be included, or he is included in this category, but he's specifically speaking now to the people of Israel. And his reply is that it's a warning. It's a warning to the people of Israel that he's going to hand them over to their enemies, to the Babylonians, who will then conquer them and take their treasures, take their spoils, particularly because it says in verse 13, "of all your sins, the people's continued disobedience, disregard for the Lord," that God is warning the Israelites of his impending judgment upon them. And earlier he talked about wanting to use Jeremiah as his mouthpiece, as his vessel, as his, you could say, his instrument of delivering this warning to the Israelites. Jeremiah's cry is to be in anguish, to be in sorrow at the difficulty he is facing. And yet God reminds him, God's reply to him is wanting to use him even in the midst of the difficulties, the challenges he is facing, to proclaim his message of repentance, his message of wanting the people of Israel to turn back to him, for warning them of the coming judgment, fallout, hardship as a result of their continued sin if they disregard the Lord. Maybe for some of us, God is wanting to use you, even in the midst of perhaps difficulties that you are facing, even like Jeremiah, crying out to the Lord, being in anguish, and yet God wanting to use you, wanting to speak through you, to you, and through you, so that others around you will return to the Lord, will come to know the Lord, turn away from pursuing goals and ends that really don't last, and turning to the Lord, the God who does last. Verses 10 to 14, we see Jeremiah's cry and the Lord's reply to him. Let's look at the next set of verses, verses 15 to 16. In verses 15 to 16, we see Jeremiah's comfort in the Lord. Jeremiah's comfort in the Lord. Verse 15 starts out and says, "O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me. Take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts." In verses 15 to 16, we see Jeremiah taking comfort in God and his word. He had earlier been crying out to the Lord in pain, in agony, in distress, and now he remembers the Lord. He is reminded of the Lord's presence with him. It says that here, "I remember, Lord, you remember me." The Lord remembers Jeremiah in his times of difficulty, in his times of distress. He visits Jeremiah. He takes vengeance for Jeremiah on my prosecutors. You could say that the Lord is a judge, jury, and executioner for Jeremiah. He's everything, takes care of everything for Jeremiah's needs, of Jeremiah's hardships, of Jeremiah's distress. God remembers Jeremiah. God visits him, comforts him. God takes action on his behalf. And because of that, Jeremiah says in verse 16, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words came to me a joy and the delight of my heart. for I am called by your name. And at the end of verse 15, he also said that, know that for your sake, I bear reproach. In other words, that I can endure difficulties or hardships or sufferings because I know that you remember me, you visit me, you take vengeance for me. Your words provide joy and delight to my heart. And I am called by your name. In spite of the challenges, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the hardships that Jeremiah faces, which we looked at earlier, he's reminded, God reminds him of his presence, of his promise. He finds comfort in the Lord. And maybe for you, in your times of distress, in times of your hardships, are you able to find comfort in the Lord? Are you able to remind yourself that God remembers you? He's fully aware of your situation, your circumstances. He has full knowledge of it. But he also visits you. He also, his presence is there with you. And he acts on your behalf. Jeremiah says he takes vengeance for me on my persecutors. That the Lord acts on your behalf. Now, that does not necessarily mean that he'll do exactly what you desire, but know that he fights for you. He wages war for you. And Jeremiah's response is that, know that for your sake, I bear reproach. I am able to endure the suffering, the hardship, the difficulties, because I know that you remember me, you visit me, you take vengeance for me. And maybe for some of us, we need to be reminded of that. That God remembers you. He is fully aware of your circumstances, what you're facing. And he's with you right now. His presence is there. Through the Holy Spirit. Through his word. And he acts on your behalf. He will bring justice, ultimate justice. It may not be in our timetable. It may not be in your timetable. It may not be in your particular way that you desire. But he will bring justice. He will take vengeance for you. If this was a fairy tale, perhaps maybe like a Disney movie, verse 16 would be a perfect storybook fairy tale ending, would it not? Jeremiah's cried out to the Lord in his anguish, in his difficulties. God has spoken to him and provided comfort to him in his duress. No, the circumstances may not have changed yet. Light may not have come into the dark areas of Jeremiah's life yet. But yet, Jeremiah is able to find comfort in the Lord. And in many ways, we could say that, wow, the story is over. Case closed. But life isn't like a movie, a book, a show that we watch or that we hear about or read. And in this case, Jeremiah continues to cry to the Lord. He has another cry that he brings to God's attention. And that's found in verses 17 to 21, where we see another cry of Jeremiah. It says, I did not sit in the company of revellers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. As I mentioned earlier, if the story had ended with verses 15 to 16, this would have been a perfect Hollywood story. Ending. Jeremiah is well, is comforted, and the case is closed. But like so often happens in life, the script doesn't follow exactly how we would like. And Jeremiah yet continues to cry out to the Lord. In fact, he says, God, in verse 17, I haven't essentially sinned, right? I've refused to engage or to associate with people who are taking pleasures perhaps in their own ways. I didn't rejoice with them. And yet, he says in verse 17, because he's asking this question of why is my pain unceasing and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed. In other words, even though I've tried to live a righteous life, I've tried to do what I believe you desire me to do, I'm still experiencing distress and agony. I'm still experiencing hardship and trials. And he even says at the end of verse 18, or suggests, that will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? He even gets to the point where Jeremiah says, or at least suggests, that God is turning against them, that God has been deceitful to him, that God hasn't come through for him. He hasn't met his expectations of how he would have expected God to respond to him. God has let him down. And maybe in some ways, in our own circumstances, in our own cries to God, without belittling or undermining the difficulties, the hardships, the challenges that you are facing, perhaps underlying our cry or your cry, our distress, our agony that we're in, there's a tinge or there's an underlying sense of God letting us down. God perhaps turning his back against us. God refusing to listen. God not responding in a way that we desire, a way that we expect. And I would suggest that perhaps Jeremiah is not just crying out to the Lord, but crying out and also pointing a finger of accusation against the Lord. Why is my pain unceasing? My wound incurable, refusing to be healed. Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? In other words, God, you haven't shown yourself in a way that I expected. You've misled me. You haven't come through in the way that I desire. Jeremiah is in need of being reminded of who God is. And that's where we find in verses 17 to 21 that we see God's reply to Jeremiah's cry. Or you could say God's additional reply to Jeremiah's additional cry. Verses 17 to 21 reminds us how God, in a way, rebukes Jeremiah. Look at verse 19. It says, if you return, I will restore you, and you will stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be my mouth. In other words, with Jeremiah crying out to the Lord, you might think that God will take comfort. God will show Jeremiah mercy. Say, oh, Jeremiah, don't cry. Jeremiah, let me soothe your wound. But the Lord's reply to Jeremiah's additional cry is to actually, I would say, rebuke Jeremiah. He says, again, if you return, I will restore you. In other words, the reason why he needs to be restored or is because in some way, shape, or form, Jeremiah has turned away from the Lord. He's believed in a lie. He's taken an attitude that has been untrue towards the Lord. His understanding of God has been skewed. And God desires to restore Jeremiah. But he says, you need to return to me. You need to be willing to come before me to respond or to repent to me. And then I will restore you. And I will continue to use you for my glory and your good. There's a tinge of Jeremiah needing to repent and God needing to rebuke Jeremiah. And lastly, in verses 20 to 21, God says, if you do these things, if you return to me, if you continue to allow me to use you, to speak through you, I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They shall not prevail over you. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. God will be faithful to providing for Jeremiah. Again, it may not be in the way that Jeremiah expects or Jeremiah desires, but yet God will be true to his promise to Jeremiah. And maybe for some of us this morning, we are in a situation or a circumstance where, like Jeremiah, we have been crying out to the Lord. We have been pleading with him. We have been faced with a difficulty or a challenge. And we found comfort in God. God is reminding us of his presence. God is reminding us of his love and his passion for us. But we may also have perhaps maybe questioned or challenged or maybe accused God of not doing something we wanted, not responding, not answering in a way that we had hoped. And perhaps God, like with Jeremiah, needs to rebuke us in a way, needs to remind us of his desire to use us for our good and his glory, needs to correct our perspective or our thinking about who he is and who he calls us to be. As we close, I just pray that you will allow God to speak to you in your circumstances, to respond in a way that he desires, both for your good and his glory. Let me pray for us. Again, God, we pray, Lord, we even cry out to you, Lord, in the contexts and the circumstances in which we face. Many of them are confusing. Many of them are challenging. Many of them make us weep, make us doubt, make us discouraged, Lord. And yet, God, I pray that we would not allow our circumstances, the challenges that we face, to form our understanding of who you are, even our expectation of you, Lord, that but we would allow your word, the truth of your word, to shape our perspective, to shape our faith and our hope in you, Lord. God, I pray especially, Lord, as we come to the end of the year, Lord, that as we look back, Lord, that we would be reminded of your goodness, Lord, and that would grow us in our desire to follow you in this new year. God, we thank you, pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go and have a blessed day. Hope to see you soon. God bless.